Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we're here with Dr. Lee Houston. Dr. Houston is an emergency medicine physician and a physician entrepreneur with a strong social media presence. She's a national thought leader on physician autonomy and sovereign identity in healthcare. Her latest venture is HPEC. HPEC is the physician-facing decentralized identity and credential wallet for the physician community. Physicians who are credential holders and the creators of authentic healthcare data should use this platform. It empowers the physician to own and control their own professional identity so that they can restore privacy and trust in the practice of medicine. And with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Houston.
Hello, hello.
Pleasure. So thank you for joining us. Dr. Houston, tell us what HPEC is in your own words and what led you to start this venture.
So HPEC stands for the Humanitarian Physicians Empowerment Community. And, you know, initially we talked about multiple business structures, including a co-op. We also talked about a B Corp, because this is really a mission-driven company that is being designed and built to restore physician autonomy. And a lot of people, you know, ask, well, how does this do this? It doesn't really make sense. So, you know, if we think about it, our credentials, our medical degrees, our licenses are the most valuable thing that we own. We pay all those years and all that money to receive them. And right now, there's no way for us to actually authenticate proof of those credentials until now. There's now a new secure technology called decentralized identity. It's a new technology protocol that allows an individual to authenticate any data about themselves. Now, the reason this is important for us, you know, physicians in the audience know that credentialing is a nightmare and it's administratively this burdensome process. It takes 4 to 6, sometimes more months to prove your credentials in order to get a job or be, you know, credentialed for an insurance company. And it restricts our freedom and ability to move. If we're being mistreated in an employment situation, or if we just want to change jobs, we have to go through this very laborious, administratively burdensome process of credentialing. So these new technologies give us an ability to rapidly authenticate ourselves so that we can move freely.
So give us an example on how the average physician or even the medical practice would use HPEC. How would they benefit from this? Obviously, everybody knows credentialing is a nightmare, but can you give an example of how this platform can benefit the physician or medical practice?
Sure. So first, I want to just make it clear that we're a very early startup. We're using something new and we're building something that's never been done before. So if you pick up this tool today, it's not going to do any of the things I'm about to share with you. But as we develop out the entire platform and move this from a beta version to an MVP, we will own our digital professional selves in an end-to-end way. So, you know, when we think about our digital presence as doctors, right now it's owned by centralized systems. If you think about, you know, our social media presence, it's owned by social media companies. You know, our professional presence is also owned and controlled by centralized entities. You know, for example, ZocDoc, HealthGrades, these companies have scraped our data from the CMS database, put it up on their website, and they essentially charge rent-seeking fees to patients to be able to access our you know, professional services. And we never gave them permission to do that. And there's a lot of other entities that are actually also selling our data. The American Medical Association has a master file of every single physician's profile. And we don't know this, but they charge other entities and companies to check that that master file and to do credential checks with our data without our explicit knowledge or consent. I didn't know about that until I started this company. And so if we build this tool where we own our data, not only will we be allowed to move freely, but we can find each other, build private practices together, you know, create opportunities for negotiation, collaborative negotiation, so that we can collaborate on par with large health systems and negotiate insurance rates that are more fair for us as independent doctors. But without this collaborative tool, we continue to remain in our silos, unable to really, you know, move the needle forward or, you know, compete with some of these larger vertically integrated entities.
Oh, that's amazing. It's incredible that all this data is just being used by these third parties, and we simply assume that's the way it is. But clearly, Dr. Houston, you've found an opportunity for physicians to regain their autonomy, which is critical, particularly during the pandemic. As a startup, much of your success is determined by the awareness you can raise. And it seems that HPEC has done a masterful job in raising awareness and building much needed credibility in the startup community. What is the message you're conveying and how is it resonating?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of people complaining about the problems, but there's not a lot of solutions being presented. And, you know, we have a unique opportunity where we actually have a solution to a lot of our problems. Now, it's somewhat abstract, so it does take some time to consider. But, you know, I think it's time for us to start paying attention to these kinds of opportunities. And I think that the physician community has made it pretty clear that they're paying attention.
What are some of the abstract concepts that you feel need more explaining than others? Because implicitly, it seems to make a lot of sense. I want control over my credentials. I want to maintain a certain level of autonomy. I don't want to pay for my own information. Where do you see the roadblocks in trying to convey that message to certain physicians?
Well, I think that we've been made to believe that we have no power and we have no choice. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes to share is, you know, what exactly does she say? She says, the most common way people give up their power is by thinking that they don't have any. Mm. And so this is the author of The Color Purple. She's a civil rights activist. And that's us. You know, we, you know, it's MLK Day today. So it's actually interesting that I thought about this now. But, you know, we've been made to believe that we don't have power, you know, that there's no choice. And so there's a lot of physicians who hear this. They say, wow, that sounds really interesting. That sounds really cool. But how are you going to get them to use it?
Yeah.
People don't realize that we create the value. Without the physician talent, without our competency, without our skills, everybody dies.
Yeah.
Let's be really clear. So we need to stop thinking that we're not the ones with the power because we're the ones with all the power.
Well said. And I hope that more physicians hear that. Anytime you talk about a technological platform, communication, or sharing, you're going to draw natural parallels to the world of social media. Do you welcome those comparisons and are they fair?
You mean comparing HPEC to social media?
Yeah, let's say like a Facebook or a Twitter. Are those appropriate comparisons to make or you would rather keep that distinction separate?
Well, the difference is we're decentralized.
Hmm.
You know, so Facebook is a centralized platform. If they don't want you to have a profile, they can delete you. They can kick people off. They can censor what you say. Same thing with Twitter. Same thing with any social media platform that's currently, you know, in the market. I mean, there are some decentralized social networks that were being built. Mastodon was one of them. Steemit was one of them. Peepiff. You know, there's a list that I have. And I don't know which ones are still in existence now and if they're actually truly decentralized, but, you know, we're moving into this world of ownership over data. Are we as a human race going to start adopting these tools that are self-sovereign, that are centric to the person that is able to control them, that empower the individual? Or are we going to continue on this path where we rescind all of our rights to technocrats and give all of our data away to health systems and insurance companies and continue to allow them to manipulate our behavior with, malaligned incentives? It's going to be our
choice.
Well
said. Now, manipulate our behavior is probably the most appropriate quotation regarding the ownership of data, particularly when it comes to these entities that don't really have physicians' best interest in mind. I want to explore this word a little bit further, decentralized, because I think it's a word that's often used, but not really well understood. You were one of the first physicians in this space. I mean, as far back as 2012, 2013. So these words are not bereft of meaning. You truly understand what they mean. Explain decentralized for the physician who may not truly understand the scope of that word.
For sure. And decentralized can be used. Part of why the general public is confused by the term is that even the technologists, even the people developing these systems have different opinions of what decentralized means. When I say it, and when I talk about our company, I'm speaking about distributed ledger technology, otherwise known as open permissionless blockchains. So decentralized and distributed are kind of similar words. But what it basically means is, you know, right now, all of our information is kept on centralized servers. All of our data is stored and owned and controlled by one entity that has built whatever that database is, and only they can access it and they sell the data. In distributed ledger technology, it gives individuals the ability to own their own data because it creates duplicate records of data, and that data isn't necessarily your name or your date of birth or your identifying information. That data is just proof that that information exists and a point to where that proof is or to where that actual data is. And that's called a hash. So, you know, for example, my medical degree, I could own a digital copy of that medical degree in my wallet or on my desktop, and out there on a distributed ledger could be a small, you know, hash that points to my wallet or my desktop and says, yes, that information's there. Yes, that's authentic. And here's where you can find it. And that person then can get permission for me to share that information. So, you know, when these databases are out there about pointing to where the actual data is, it puts the user in control of that data. Now, people say, well, what if that hash table is deleted? Well, what's interesting is, you know, it's distributed and it's duplicated. So every time we put a record on one of these distributed ledgers, it's copied onto thousands of computers. And there's individuals who are watching these computers to make sure that the table and the record, you know, is accurate. Now, how do they do that? They always have the older record that's copied and immutable, meaning you can't erase it. So, you know, every time a new piece of data is added, it's added to a chain of all of the other data that cannot be erased, and it can be compared to all of the other thousands of computers. Now, if somebody tries to lie and put a fake piece of data on one ledger, it's compared to all the other ledgers. They know it's not real and it's not added as a permanent record on that hash table. And that's how we keep this data secure and truthful. It basically, you know, it creates a permanent record of information that we all can access.
Wow. I think the general public doesn't understand how little oversight there exists currently. Kind of going through all of that and explaining the security that your mechanism affords and is in the process of developing to afford, compare that with the current standard right now. What can happen right now with the lack of oversight that exists?
Well, I mean, there is some oversight. I mean, we have your regulations, we have bureaucracy, you know, we have, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, the problem is with the government. There's too much bureaucracy. There's too much oversight. There's too many regulations. And some people are like, no, the problem's with corporations. They have too much power. They influence the government. You know, we need to take power away from the corporations. The fact of the matter is they're both, you know, a problem, and they're both problematic because they're centralized, you know, and the problem isn't with, you know, government in general, it's with corrupt government. That's turning a blind eye to, you know, the fraud that's happening, the Medicare and Medicaid fraud that's happening, because they're getting a lobbyist to take them out and to write them checks to turn a blind eye to things, you know? So it's you know, it's corrupt bureaucrats that's the problem. And then the same thing, it's crony capitalists, people who are colluding, making backdoor handshake deals, doing kickback scenarios, lobbying and paying for people to turn a blind eye to this nasty stuff that they're doing. And so this is a moment in time where we, the people, can start developing tools that can push up against that, you know, that behavior and put the power into the hands of the individual.
Interesting. So the sense that we're getting is, as we move forward using HPEC, the key is really recognizing through a decentralized platform, you have the ownership. So whereas before, it was always a third party, it was always centralized, whereas now you're in control. To play devil's advocate, what if somebody says, that seems like a lot of responsibility. That seems like something I may be intimidated to take on. Explain to that person why they should still want that decentralized platform, even in the face of that perceived intimidation.
Well, you know, if you're talking about ownership over your public-private key pair and the risk of losing that private key, that is a concern. And it's a concern that, you know, some people are starting to address. But, you know, there's a lot of solutions that are coming to market or already in market around that. And in general, it's like, what do you want? Do you want to be controlled or do you want control? If you want control, you're going to have a little more responsibility. I mean, we as a physician community are a very responsible bunch. Yeah. So I don't think we should have a problem with this. But, you know, what do we do about, you know, people who are elderly and don't understand technology or have, you know, beginning signs of dementia or young children who have developmental disabilities or patients who have psychiatric problems who aren't able to, you know, to manage their own data. I mean, custodianship is a discussion that's being had, especially in the healthcare community around these tools. You know, and in the same way that we have custodians in the real default world, we're going to have custodians over things like this. But I believe that we have a real opportunity here, and I don't want to lose it over you know, a fear of something that, you know, of course it should be a fear, but it can be addressed.
No, well said. And I think as we're starting to get into a new post-pandemic world of healthcare, there's going to be paradigm shifts. And being at the vanguard, I think you really start to see those shifts. So for the physician who is interested, would like to get on board, talk a little bit about the onboarding process. How can they download HPEC? How can they log on? Talk us through that process.
Yeah, and so we have a digital identity wallet, and we built it with these open standards. So when you join and when you become an HPEC member, you automatically get a secure enclave, and you get a decentralized identifier where you can receive and share your digital credentials. Now, the onboarding process is very simple. It's very similar to many onboarding processes. You put your NPI number in as a doctor, and you essentially claim your physician profile. You know, it'll say, oh, is this you? And you'll see your name pop up and you'll say yes. And then it will ask for your identification. So we use a third party application called Onfido that checks government issued ID, whether it's a passport or a driver's license. And the reason we do that is, what if somebody else downloads the app and puts in your NPI number? Mm. The only way for us to know it's you is actually checking your government ID and do facial recognition. So we do that as well. And this is a bit of a friction point for practicing doctors because they're like, what is this? What does it mean? What are they going to do with this information? But, you know, we're building this for us. So I'm asking you to trust that we're building it in a way that's going to serve us. And so once you do those two checkpoints, you're in. And if you're licensed in Florida, you'll be in the Florida physician group. We do ask a few more questions about your practice environment so that we can build robust search features around, you know, where you practice. If you want to be found, you can click the button and say, make my profile searchable. And so these are some features that we want to build later. Right now, you can only really search by name. But once you get into the application, you're in the Florida State Licensed Group, or you're in the Albany Medical Center Graduate Group, or you're in the Emergency Physician Group, and you get to connect with your peers that are also in this group and also believe in autonomy and want to be a part of this movement. And as we grow the network, we plan on building all kinds of other features that make it easier for us to practice.
You seem to generate quite a bit of momentum and usership already. Can you talk a little bit about the total number of people who have signed up already and what you anticipate to be, let's say, by the end of this year?
So we have close to 1,000 physicians who have signed up. We put a pause on invitations because we really want to build out some of these other features. But anybody can still join today. They're just kind of seeing a very rudimentary version of the application. And so that's part of why, you know, we are likely going to be raising a fundraising round sometime in the near future to, you know, continue to build this out. And we would love, you know, the physician community to participate in that.
Well, certainly. What sort of interest are you getting from physicians? Because I think many physicians who would be interested in this platform are also very savvy about technology and similarly want to maintain ownership over their data. What are the key points that they're looking for when they sign up for HPAC? Are they looking for the autonomy, looking for ease of credentialing? What is the biggest value that they find?
You know, it's really, at this point, I feel like it's about a 50-50 split. You know, there's a huge number who are like, we want the credentialing problem to be solved. And there's a huge number who are like, we want autonomy and freedom, and we want practice mobility, and we want to connect with our colleagues. You know, the connection and the referral network and the DAO, the decentralized autonomous organization that we're building, the governance that we can build around, you know, policy and practice guidelines, the support that we can give our colleagues who might need something that we might be able to help them with. You know, that to me is really part of our greater vision, and that can happen sooner. The credentialing piece, because it's a very new, you know, we're creating essentially a paradigm shift in how we authenticate ourselves. Right. So, you know, to get to market, to get to first revenue, it is going to take some time. You know, we're very fortunate to have already signed some, you know, agreements with residency programs where we're going to do a small research study, pilot projects with them in order to iterate on the product. You know, so it's kind of like, it's kind of both. Different people want different things, and that's why we're building both.
Are you looking for residency programs to get involved with? Let's say a program director hears about HPAC. Is there a way for him or her to get involved or get in touch with you?
You know, if your department has grant money for research projects and you want to develop, you know, use the Evercred system and develop with us, I'm totally open to those kinds of conversations today. However, until we raise capital, we're not really accepting any more research opportunities because it costs the company money, you know.
Right.
And so until we have, you know, a sustainable revenue generating model, we need to kind of be careful of that. But please reach out. We'll put you on the list to reach out to as soon as we're ready, kind of thing also. You know, I just spoke to another residency program this week who is interested. So
nice. And so let's say somebody listening wants to then sign up for HPAC. I understand that it's available on various platforms, Android, Apple. What do they search for? And then what does the bar look like for them to understand how to download it?
So first of all, if you have a friend that's already a member, have them invite you. You know, because if you invite your colleagues and they join, you both get points. And those points could potentially later be used for goods and services and partnerships that we're working on developing right now, you know, deals and discounts on all kinds of things. So if you can get an invitation, get an invitation. But if not, you can just join and onboard on your own. You just download the application. You can go to HPEC on the app or Google Play Store and download the app and give it a go. And I'd love to hear feedback, you know. I know that it's not exactly what we want it to be today, but, you know, I think that most people are saying that the onboarding process is really smooth, and that's because a lot of people provided a lot of feedback in the beginning when we were designing and developing this. So feedback's always appreciated.
Nice. And in full disclosure, I have signed up. I am a member of HPAC. I found the platform to be extremely seamless. I'm a member of the Indiana Licensed Physician Group. And so it's nice to be able to communicate. So for what it's worth, I enjoyed using the platform and I found it to be very helpful and to have private conversations with other physicians and similar mindsets of maintaining autonomy over their data.
Now, I also want to mention, just because of what you said, there's a protocol called the Decentralized Identity Communication Protocol, you know, DIDCOM, which is a protocol that allows two individuals who have a decentralized identifier to connect and have private conversations amongst each other. And we've enabled that protocol in the application. So when you connect with a colleague on the app and you have communications with them, it's private. And so that's another feature that we've built. So we're really excited about it.
Nice. And that's currently available.
That's right.
So let's say a physician has, you know, a private matter, a litigious matter or something like that. They could use your platform conceivably to discuss with other physicians and kind of understand what are some ways to deal with whatever they're facing.
Yeah. In a one-to-one conversation, it's private. You know, and I'm not allowed to say that it's HIPAA compliant, because you need to like go through all kinds of hoops to be able to say that. But, you know, it serves all of the requirements of HIPAA, to be compliant, which, you know, it's, and, you know, it's encrypted and it's peer to peer.
No, that's interesting. Dr. Houston, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. For those who may be interested in learning more about you, about HPAC, or participate in some of the endeavors, particularly the upcoming fundraising round, how can they get a hold of you?
They can find me on Twitter, on LinkedIn. Our website is hpec.io. Join the app. I'm on the app. Connect with me. Invite your colleagues. You know, join us.
No, and I would highly recommend those who have listened to this podcast to please take a look at HPAC and please follow up with Dr. Houston.
Awesome. Thank you so much.